Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Micah Van Hus concludes his series looking inside the world's secret societies. We're less than a month away from our next Prophecy in the News live event, August 16th and 17th at Hillspring Church in New Prague, Minnesota. Come hear the latest One World update, examine biblical artifacts from Israel, and learn about the earth before the flood. You'll learn how to have victory in the invisible war on the saints and discover the truth behind the secret societies. Speakers include Dr. Larry Spargimino, Micah Van Hus, Josh Davis, Larry Stamm, Greg Patton, and Clayton Van Hus. Tickets are free, but seating is limited, so make sure you register today by visiting our website, swrc.com, and click on Events. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live, August 16th and 17th in New Prague, Minnesota. Now, here's today's host, author and speaker, Micah Van Hus.
Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall. I am your host today, Micah Van Hus. I host Marginal Mysteries at Southwest Radio Ministries. And today we are wrapping up our discussion on secret societies from my latest book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. We have been talking about the knowledge of the watchers that the secret societies are trying to pass throughout the generations to teach human enlightenment, ascend humanity into godhood, and usher in a final battle against the Creator. We know that as the Battle of Armageddon. So let's continue that discussion. Near the end of times, God will send a powerful delusion, causing people to believe a great deception. This deception will cause people to desire lies over the truth. What is the great deception? Let's read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It is Satan who is the great deceiver. He has nestled himself so close to the truth, so close to the cross, that many are deceived. I believe that the great deception began in the year 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. Now, up until this time, the Roman emperors worshipped pagan Roman gods, the chief of which was Jupiter. Constantine was a ruthless ruler, killing his eldest son Crispus, his wife Fausta, and his close friend Sopater. He fed Christians to wild animals in the Colosseums. In 312 AD, the Roman Empire was in a civil war with Maxentius and Constantine ruling two different factions. Their armies would need to eventually meet and fight in order to see who would take the throne. Well, the armies did meet in 312, and on the eve of battle, Constantine dreamt of an angel descending from the sky holding a glowing crucifix. The cross appeared on Constantine's soldiers, and the cross bore the command, "In this sign you will conquer." So after Constantine achieved victory at the Battle of Milvian Bridge, Constantine supposedly converted to Christianity. In 325 AD, Constantine convened the Council of Nicaea, which resulted in the first uniform Christian doctrine called the Nicene Creed. And now we're talking about the Catholic Church here. Did Constantine truly convert to Christianity, or did he use the conversion to his political advantage in a Rome that was seeing an increasing population of Christians? I speculate that Constantine did not convert to Christianity, but instead merged the pagan gods of old, the pagan Roman gods, into the Catholic Church, renaming them with Christian names. Now, around the year 250 BC, the Celts settled the ancient city of Lutetia. With them, they brought their mystery religion of the goddess of the East. Who is that? That would be Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. So here in Lutetia, the Celts built a temple to Isis. In 360, the city was renamed Paris. In 1163 AD, Notre Dame was built on the site of the Isis temple and dedicated to the Virgin Mary the Queen of Heaven. In Jeremiah chapter 44, the children of Israel worshipped the pagan goddess, the Queen of Heaven, who is Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. Now, why was Notre Dame, the temple dedicated to Virgin Mary, why was it built on an Isis temple site, and why is Mary called the Queen of Heaven? Well, Mary isn't the only false god worshipped today, so let's keep reading. The Pope is a man. He is the head of the Catholic Church. Throughout history, there have been 266 popes of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, some of the popes have claimed to be the mediator between God and man. Some popes have actually claimed to be God themselves. In 2014, in front of 33,000 people, Pope Francis said, "There are those who believe you can have a personal, direct, and immediate relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the communion and mediation of the church. These temptations are dangerous and harmful. That is opposite to what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Does Pope Francis sound like a man leading people to Jesus? We have seen this throughout history, that the Catholic Church does not want people to go to God on their own. They want to be the mediator. They burned people at the stake for reading the Bible in the 16th century, other centuries as well. They did all kinds of terrible things during the Inquisition because they wanted to be relevant, is probably a good word for it, talking about penance during the time of Martin Luther. God warns us not to be deceived by false Christ in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." But are popes really claiming to be God himself? In 1895, Pope Pius X said, "The Pope is not simply the representative of Christ. On the contrary, he is Jesus Christ himself under the veil of flesh. It is Jesus Christ who is speaking. Hence, when anyone speaks of the Pope, it is not necessary to examine, but to obey." Well, yes, Micah, I hear you say that there have been plenty of bad men in the past, even popes. Well, it's not just Pius X claiming to be God. Pope John Paul II in 1984 was quoted in the Los Angeles Times as saying, "Do not go to God for forgiveness, come to me." It's even Pope Francis. In 2013, Pope Francis said, "Jesus is my teacher and my pastor, but God the Father, Abba, is the light and the creator. This is my being. Do you think we are very far apart?" The Latin word for pope is papa, which means father. These popes have a lot to say, so let's hear what God has to say in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." Now, in the 12th century, St. Malachy recorded the prophecy of the popes. He claimed that there would only be 112 more popes. He attempted to predict each of them by recording 112 short cryptic phrases in Latin describing something about each of them. Now, these prophecies are hit and miss, but what is most interesting is that Pope Francis, the current pope, is the last pope in Malachy's list. So whether or not Malachy's list was divinely inspired, whether or not he's correct, time will tell. If 800 years ago Malachy predicted the popes, as Pope Francis is the last one in his list. Even Pope Paul VI in 1972 cried out against Satan's infiltration into the Catholic Church, saying, "Through some crack, the smoke of Satan has entered the Church of God." The resurrection sculpture sits behind the Pope at the Paul VI Audience Hall in Vatican City. It depicts Jesus rising from a crater of a nuclear bomb in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it's a terrible-looking sculpture with skulls and rib cages and all kinds of things. It almost looks demonic. In fact, it does look very demonic. The symbolism inside the Pope VI Audience Hall lends you to believe that there is something else going on. If you see pictures of the Pope VI Audience Hall inside, you will see the shape of a serpent from the ceiling to the windows to the stage to the carpet. The camera lenses in these pictures are not distorted. In Vatican City sits the seat of the Roman Catholic Church, the altar to the serpent, the great dragon. Through the Catholic Church, Satan is deceiving millions, telling them that they are good enough to earn their way into heaven. If you can be good enough to attain eternal life, then why did Jesus come to earth to suffer and die? Scripture is clear that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Catholic Church, led by a man, in my opinion, has gone astray. I speculate that the great deception in Revelation is the Catholic Church. Revelation tells us that the false prophet will call on the world to worship a false Christ, the Antichrist. The elites will have used the Catholic Church in the name of tolerance to usher in a one-world utopian religion that accepts Christians, Jews, Muslims, and the rest under one banner. The mystery religion of Babylon and the forbidden knowledge of the Watchers will be revealed. Satan himself will be elevated as being the quote-unquote good God of enlightenment, while the Creator will be portrayed as oppressive, keeping knowledge from mankind. Those who do not accept the religion will be considered incapable of enlightenment and therefore not worthy to live. Mary, worshipped as God by the Catholic Church, will reveal herself to be not Mary the mother of Jesus, but instead Isis, Babylon the Great, Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. The secret societies controlled by the evil princes of the air will succeed in getting their final battle against the Creator, the Battle of Armageddon. It is there at Armageddon that Jesus Christ will bring an end to the mystery religion of Babylon. If you're enjoying today's study, this is all included in my latest book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. You can get a copy of Secret Societies at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. You can also get it at Southwest Radio Ministries' website at swrc.com, swrc.com, or you can call 800-652-1144. Are we approaching the end times? It sure feels like it, but history records many accounts of people believing that the return of Christ was imminent and that the Antichrist had already come. Nero, whose name in Hebrew adds up to 666, persecuted the church in the first century. In the 16th century, Martin Luther claimed Pope Leo X was the Antichrist in a letter written to the Pope. In Leo Tolstoy's 19th century novel, War and Peace, Napoleon is promoted as the Antichrist. Many Christians believe that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist in the 20th century. In Genesis 6:3, God gives mankind an opportunity to repent and stave off the coming world-destroying flood. In Genesis 18, Abraham begs for the salvation of Sodom, and God lays out options to stop the coming destruction. God's plan for salvation is the prime example of God putting the fate of our souls into our hands. Just as God gave Adam and Eve a choice by putting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in front of them, I believe He has put a choice in front of us. While Scripture is clear that there will be an end times, the date is not set in stone. As He did many times in Scripture, I believe God, in His grand free will experiment, is leaving it up to this generation whether or not the end times are ushered in right now. How far are the powers of the air into their diabolical plan? They are at the point now where they're corrupting our children. Through Disney and children's shows, among others, they're indoctrinating the world's youth into transgenderism and pedophilia while telling all of us that it's not a sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 reads, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Protect the innocent and guard your children against the princes of this world. If you're looking for some wholesome children's entertainment, as I said a few days ago, my first kid's book, my latest book, A Boy and His Dinosaur, is available on swrc.com, and it depicts a boy and his adventures with his little dinosaur. Now, if you believe, as I do, that the Word of God is true, then you believe that in Genesis chapter 1, that God created mankind and the beasts of the field on the same day, day 6, and that dinosaurs and mankind live together. Make sure you get a copy of A Boy and His Dinosaur. John 8:44 reads, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, we're going to continue to see the decline of the Catholic Church and its acceptance of sin, in my opinion. Will we live to see the Pope or some other reveal himself as the false prophet? Will the Freemason's secret manifest as the return of the Nephilim? Well, Jesus Christ himself says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus Christ also says, "To be ready for his return, that it comes as a thief in the night." So I hope what we've talked about has given you some understanding as to what may be happening behind the scenes in our world today, especially as it relates to secret societies. Now, an important question is, should a Christian join a secret society? Now, I speak all across the country on this topic, and people talk to me all the time about how they have family members who are Freemasons, who are Catholics, or others. My opinion is that, as with everything else in life, we should be thoughtful and prayerful when considering joining any group of others, as we should when even joining a Christian church. Rather than go through my opinion on the entire list of the well-known secret societies, I will caution that many of the world's secret societies hide their true goals from their initiates and low-level members. Institutions of mankind, even the Protestant churches, and especially the Catholic Church, are subject to a man's leadership. I recommend that instead of a religion, one seeks a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Creator and Savior. I will say again that I was saved at the age of 7, but it wasn't until around 20 years old at Pensacola Christian College that I read my Bible through from cover to cover, and Jesus became real to me. God became real to me. I discovered him as I read through Scripture. And so I recommend that your foundation for your worldview be the Bible and not what some person says. I've got stories of people at some of the weird churches that are coming out nowadays, the churches with rainbow flags and others. One of my friends, he was looking for salvation and asked if he was saved or not. And the preacher at that church told him, "He's on the right path." I'm sorry, as a preacher, someone comes up to you and asks you how to be saved, you don't tell them they're on the right path. You tell them the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're seeing this kind of stuff in churches today. Where should they get their authority? They should get it from the Word of God. So if you're listening to words of man, I recommend that you filter it through the Word of God, because that is the lasting word of the Creator that we have with us. And if you don't know your Bible, well, then you're going to have to rely on a man's word. And there's plenty of good pastors, plenty of good men, and plenty of good places to listen and hear the truth. But there's also an increasing number of places that will lie and tell you that a sin is not a sin. God never changes. What was sin 1,000, 4,000 years ago is still sin today. Jesus Christ has not changed based on what culture deems popular. If you worship Jesus, who accepts a certain sin, let's go ahead and go with the sin of homosexuality and pride, they're all mixed together. If you worship a Jesus and you doesn't think that's a sin, well, then you're worshiping an idol. You can call your idol Jesus, but if he is someone who does not believe that pride is a sin, then you are worshiping a false god. You are not worshiping the God of the Bible. Sin has never changed, and God never changes as well. As the secret societies teach, will we one day ascend into godhood ourselves? Can salvation be found through human enlightenment? Well, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Salvation does not come through human enlightenment, despite what the serpent said in the garden. God wants us to have faith in him. as opposed to using our own intellectual prowess. The idea of salvation through another is antithetical to the goal of the mystery religion of Babylon. Carried throughout the millennia by Earth's secret societies, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 reads, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now is the day of salvation. Embrace your Creator, your Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 reads, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, as King Solomon likely wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Whether the world descends into end times chaos or continues for another 80 years until the next turning may be up to you." The idea of the fourth turning is, it was a book written, The Fourth Turning. I forgot the author's name, a fascinating book. It's the idea that every 20 years is a new generation, and every 80 years, there are four generations that cycle, and every 80 years is a great catastrophe, and the different generations handle things differently. The fourth turning has proven true through all of American history. 80 years, roughly 80 years, there is a catastrophe. We start with the American Revolution. 80 years later, we go to the American Civil War. 80 years later, we go to World War II. And 80 years later, we sit right here in the middle of the 2020s. The four generations are the nomad, the artist, the prophet, and the hero generation. It's the same idea that good men breed good times. Good times breed weak men. Weak men breed bad times. Bad times breed good men. It is a cycle of generations, and the hero generation is the one that pulls us through the catastrophe. Believe it or not, the millennials are actually the hero generation in the fourth turning scenario. But I believe that God may leave, whether or not the end times is ushered in, up to our generations, just as He did with Abraham trying to save Sodom, just as He did with Noah and Methuselah preaching to stave off the flood. The book of Jasher, which is an apocryphal book, does talk about God giving mankind 120 years to repent, even though none of them did. That is also mirrored in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, when God says man's years will now be 120. I believe He's saying that He's giving mankind 120 years to repent. So as we've gone through this study on secret societies, let's recap real quick. The idea of the secret societies begins way back before the flood and the knowledge of the watchers, the great rebellion against God. That would be Genesis chapter 6, when the angels decided to rebel against God, take on earthly bodies, take human women as their wives, and sire the Nephilim, the giants throughout Scripture. They taught forbidden knowledge to mankind. That knowledge was passed through the sons of Lamech on the Emerald Tablet or the pillars. Hermes, the Greek god, found that knowledge and shared it with Nimrod. Nimrod used that knowledge to build his mighty Babylon. Masons consider Nimrod as their first excellent grandmaster. And Nimrod became the first man god to corrupt Elohim's creation after the newly cleansed flood, the world of the flood. So this knowledge is teaching humankind that we don't need God, that we will one day ascend into gods ourselves. That is human enlightenment. That's the same thing that the New Age teaches. These are the Hermetic religions, the religions of Hermes. Hinduism, Buddhism, Shinto, Theosophy, New Age movement. And so teaching that we don't need God, that we will one day become as gods ourselves. They also are trying to usher in a final battle against the Creator. We know that as the Battle of Armageddon. They will get their Battle of Armageddon, but they will not win. So if you've enjoyed these studies these last few days, this is all in my latest book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, and you can get a copy of it at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. You can also get a copy at Southwest Radio Ministries, swrc.com, or call 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144. There's a number of things in the book that we also go through, which we didn't cover in the radio. We talk about the secrets of the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian cover-up of the giant skeletons found all throughout the United States, the Smithsonian cover-up of the Egyptian hieroglyphs that were found in the Grand Canyon. In fact, if you go onto Google Earth today, it was the Smithsonian, the United States government, that named all the different prominent features in the Grand Canyon, and they are still named their Egyptian names of the Temple of Seti all kinds of different Egyptian names. If you go on Google Earth, you can find all of the different Egyptian named precipices and fascinating looking panoramic views in the Grand Canyon, prominent features. And that is due to the hieroglyphs that they found 115 years ago or so. That would be Kincaid, if you want to study that. We have a chapter dedicated to the secrets of the Smithsonian, the things that they are covering up. So don't ever forget, as we study through these mysterious things, that Jesus Christ is the central point of history. He's the central point of God's word. And it's imperative that every single one of us come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior.
The complete 3-day series on secret societies by Micah Van Hus is now available on CD. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Secret Societies, the brand new book by Micah Van Hus, is here. Where did secret societies originate? What role do they play in the end times? Join Micah as he takes a look at the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Order your copy of Secret Societies when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Secret Societies at our website, swrc.com. Did the Knights Templar guard the Holy Grail and bury a vast treasure in North America? Did Freemasons mastermind the American Revolution? Why is there so much Masonic symbolism in our country's infrastructure? Are the world's most powerful families secretly serving the Illuminati? And should a Christian join a secret society? Micah Van Hus is entering the rabbit hole, and he invites you to join him as you explore the answers to these questions from a biblical worldview and discussing the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. 1-800-652-1144. I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, swrc.com. There you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The latest resources from Lonnie Shipman, Micah Van Hus, Billy Crone, and Josh Davis are all found at swrc.com. Tomorrow, we're going to Israel to dig with archaeologist Scott Stripling. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Visit swrc.com.